is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to the Nosebleeds Podcast for WFUV Sports, our one and only baseball podcast. We have a lot to talk about. Both baseball teams in New York City have been doing a beautiful job so far this season. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into a little bit of general MLB, talking about some other teams that we've been watching that are either interesting or potentially frauds. But first of all, I'm Grace McCarron, joined by Maddie Bergen and Dominic Sansoni. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great, you know. I'm happy to see the Yanks. They're off to a pretty decent start. I can't complain too much. I am a little resentful of the fact that the Mets are doing just a little bit better logistically, but we'll see how the season goes at the end.
Yeah, I'm doing great. You know, weather's been nicer in the Big Apple, and it's been a couple of nice days. Got spring weekend coming up. Finals should be getting out of here and going home shortly, so super excited.
Yeah. Cannot complain at all. Well, you know who also can't complain is the New York Mets.
We can complain.
They might have some complaints, but the Mets sit at 18-7 overall. Currently the best record in Major League Baseball. That's right. That's a Major League Baseball that includes the Dodgers, includes the Yankees, includes the Padres. All three of those other teams have been fantastic, but the Mets have the best record of them all. They just swept the Phillies this past week, likely their main competition in the NL East, and they had a perfect homestand with that series versus the Phillies and also the St. Louis Cardinals to bring them to a 12-1 record at Citi Field, which I've been three times so far this year. Citi Field has been rocking, even on a Wednesday, like, random afternoon game. Not even on, like, a Friday or Saturday night. The place has been rocking. They've had fantastic attendance, and it's been awesome to see. And, I mean, there's not a lot for me as a Mets fan to complain about right now, but I want to hear what you guys think, a little bit of a less biased take, perhaps. What are you seeing so far from the Mets?
No, like, I am happy to see a team that has doing, honestly, very well for themselves in comparison to years past, and they have such a outstanding attendance from the amount of fans. In their homestead that they had 38,000 fans on average in that time they were in Queens, which is just, it's nice to see. They deserve that kind of hype in a sense where they're doing so well, both offensively and defensively. We've all heard about how outstanding their pitching has been, both their starting pitching, their bullpens. It's just, it's unbelievable, honestly, and it makes me resent them even more as somebody who's a firm believer in the Bronx Bombers. But, you know, it's fun. It's going to be a good time to see when the Subway Series comes around in May, which is the weekend I graduate. So hopefully it can end really well with the Yankees could take the title, but you never know. It's honestly, like, I'm happy for them in a sense where their pitching's been good, but I am a little happy that Soto's not doing too well, but that's just the Yankee fan in me.
Yeah, the Mets are off to a really hot start. There's no doubt their starting pitching has been nothing short of spectacular. I mean, Canning, Holmes, Peterson, Senga, every one of them, you know, a really good record, low ERAs, and their bullpen has came in and finished off good starts. So that's a good thing to see for the Mets. Offensively, obviously, you know, the big $765 million guy hasn't really been crushing it. Soto's not killing it by any means. He's got 17 runs, 21 hits, 90 at-bats. But it's been Alonso and Lindor who have kind of been leading the charge for the Mets.
Yeah, I was just going to actually segue us into that. The pitching has been the star of the show so far. There's, at least for me, there were a lot of concerns with their rotation coming in, especially when Sean Manaea went down. Frankie Montas is a bit of a project, I think, but he's also out with an injury. But you were kind of taking a risk with Griffin Canning and some of those other guys. They don't have, like, a real ace, like a Gerrit Cole-esque thing on that rotation right now, but these guys they've brought in, Griffin Canning with a 3.12 ERA so far. Tyler McGill has been fantastic as well. And then the bullpen's been great. Like, it kind of is a continuation of the Edwin Diaz experience. I think he makes everybody sweat a little bit still these days. You know, when those trumpets start playing, sometimes it's like, you know, it's exciting, and then all of a sudden he's walked a couple guys and you're like, oh, right, I remember how this feels. But he's, for the most part, he's been pretty good. He's been able to get himself out of those situations. You know, he's had his moments, but they keep racking up the wins. And then the bats, Bats have left a little bit to be desired other than Pete Alonso, who thankfully they brought back this winter, because if they didn't, the offense would be pretty much dead right now. And then Francisco Lindor, who we're used to him having a bad, not a bad start to the season, but like a lackluster start to the season. He seems to have avoided the usual April slump so far. So my question with the Mets, just as a team, both on the pitching side and a little bit on the hitting side, can they keep this up? Can they maintain the best record in the league?
So I think since they have such an overwhelming amount of guys who are performing well, because it's not just the one guy that's holding the lineup or the one guy that's keeping the starting pitching rotation going strong. They're all kind of pulling their weight. So I feel like once or if Soto gets acclimated to the Queens environment, if he's able to perform in the way that Mets fans know he can and how he has in the past with his previous teams, I think the Mets have an opportunity to be even better than they are right now if everybody continues to pull their weight. And say Clay Holmes or Tyler McGill or Pete Alonso, they don't perform as well as they can or have as they've been in this entire season. I think they do have guys that are pulling their weight and can continue to continue being as good as they are.
I don't know, man. I don't see it the same as you guys on this one. Mm-hmm. I see things a little differently. I mean, I do think that you need to have a guy that you can turn to and always rely on, especially in the starting rotation. Like, as a Yankees fan, like, I know if Gerrit Cole is healthy and we hand him the ball, we're going to get 6-plus good innings, 2 or less runs, and it's solid. And you mentioned earlier, Grace, the Mets don't really have that. They don't have that established ace. And you could argue, yeah, you know, McGill's doing pretty good. He's on his way there, you know, whatever. I would just say they need to get someone in that position really quick who they can say, this is our guy.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you in a sense, but I also agree in a way where, yeah, you have that guy and you have somebody that you can always rely on. Because, like, Yankee fans, they have Gerrit Cole, but now that they don't, they have Max Fried in a sense. He's really showed his potential and his talent on the team. But also, when we're talking about the Mets, they have guys who have altogether done very well each game, where you can go to the next game and be like, okay, I know he's going to perform. But for the Yankees, in a sense, when you see Marcus Stroman on the mound, you're like, okay, so we had a good day with Fried, and now we're going to go on to Stroman, and it's two totally different games. So I think having an ace is definitely something every team should have, because there's, like, the Corbin Burns of the world. There's, like we said, Gerrit Coles. But I think having a solid lineup through and through is definitely something that every team should have, and I think the Mets have that right now.
Yeah. I would say one thing that is important for the Mets is not even related to their own team, but the fact that the Braves have been highly disappointing so far. They had an awful start to the season. They've kind of gotten it together a little bit the past few games. They're now at 10-14, the bottom of the NL East, which I don't think anybody thought would happen. But the main competition for this division for the Mets is the Phillies and Braves. Phillies have been, they're at 13-12. They've been, like, fine, nothing special. But I do think they're going to get hot. That's a good baseball team. The Braves, like, I don't know. I think they can't possibly be this bad, but if they actually are this bad, I mean, they're 2-11 on an away game. It's pretty bleak. Brings me a lot of joy. if they keep it up like this, like, are the Mets going to run away with the NL East? Like, I don't want to, I mean, it's been a month, so I don't want to speak too soon, but what do we think of this NL East as it stands right now?
I do agree with you in a sense where the Mets seem to have, like, an overwhelming lead over the league at this point, but I agree with you in a sense also where it is still so early in the season. We're not even done with April yet. I think we've just hit the 1 month mark of being in Major League Baseball season. So I think it is a little too early to tell, because you never know. It's starting to get warmer. Players are getting more acclimated to play in the warmth. A lot of times, like, we had a discussion in our last Notes Please podcast about how horrible the Yankees did in Detroit because of how freezing it was, you know? So I feel like as it starts to get warmer and players are getting acclimated to the new teams that they're on, I feel like every team has an opportunity to take that and go for it. And maybe the Mets fall back in the near future. I don't know. I'm manifesting that. I don't know what I'm doing with that. But who knows? I think that with the way that they're at right now, and if Soto can get, like, his bat to make contact with the ball, I think that the Mets have a pretty bright future ahead of them.
Yeah, the Mets are definitely probably the favorite to win this division in my eyes. I think the Phillies are going to give them a run for their money down the stretch. I think they'll tighten that gap. It's only 5 games behind right now. But I don't see the Braves really. I mean, they're already off to a really sluggish start, they could continue this way the rest of the way. And then Miami and the Nationals are not very strong teams. Yeah. So they do have a pretty clear path to the postseason, if you want me to be honest right now. I know it's very early on and it's crazy. You know, we're only 25 games in to talk about the postseason, but they should win this division and they should be a 1, 2, or 3 seed going into the playoff.
I will say one thing that made me very happy during that series against the Phillies this past week was, the fact that they swept them to me is crazy, because usually, I have, past things with the Phillies where they go into a series with the Phillies and I'm immediately thinking like this might be a really bad one, because they, Phillies always just have their number. It's a really, really heated rivalry. And they also went up against Zach Wheeler, who I think has a claim to be one of the like three best pitchers in the majors. Mm-hmm. And he was not a problem for them at all. And they won that game too. And it's, I'm actually not going to say what I'm thinking, because I'm like really scared to jinx, because I do kind of believe in jinxes, but like it really is looking great right now. And the fact that Juan Soto has not been himself, the pitching has miraculously been great. I don't know if that will continue, but they also did just get back Francisco Alvarez mm-hmm. and Jeff McNeil from the injured list. I will say on the catching end, Luis Torrens has been great as a backup catcher. He's been fantastic. He should be a team starting catcher, to be honest, but I'm very glad that he's my backup catcher. And then Jeff McNeil kind of poses not an issue for the Mets, but a little bit of a decision for them to make in the infield. They just sent down Brett Beatty to replace that roster spot, and he hasn't had the worst start to the season ever either, so I like that they have these options when players go down. That was kind of a thing when Jeff McNeil got hurt. Like,
that was something I had on all my notes too, saying yeah. like that having those two players come back from the IL is definitely huge for them, and that they have still Brett Beatty and Hayden Sanger also was sent yeah. down to AAA at Syracuse. But I think that having the opportunity and having those kind of players that say that the guys that are coming off the IL are still not doing so well, you can just bring them right back up. Yeah. And like you said, they've had a pretty decent start to the season. So I think that they have a lot of opportunities. They have a lot of depth to use. So hopefully they can use that in their favor.
So much flexibility across this Mets roster. They can just exchange pieces, and that's what you want to see. Championship teams find a way to win these games. And the Mets are going to do that, and they're going to continue to do that. They'll be good down the stretch.
Agreed.
All right, well, let's take a trip to the Bronx, shall we?
Please.
Where we already are, but let's take a journey. The New York Yankees, first of all, starting a series at home against the Toronto Blue Jays, a division foe, tonight. They're 15-10 overall, tied with the Detroit Tigers for the best record in the American League. They just this past week won their series in Tampa, actually at their minor league stadium, against the Rays. They dropped a series to the Guardians, which I kind of want to talk about that series because I thought that was really interesting. But I'll let the two Yankee fans give us a little debrief of the Yankees as of late. What have you guys been seeing?
You know, I love the way that the top of the batting order looks. You have Judge. He's batting .415 right now. And he is one of the – this is the longest stretch, one of the longest stretch a player has ever had being in the 400s for a batting average. Like, it's just – it's mind-blowing. And whether it's a home run, it's a double, it's a triple, it's something. He was 4-for-4 on Tuesday in the one win that they had against the Guardians. And I think that the Guardians came into this series wanting payback. They wanted payback for the playoffs from last year, mm-hmm. and they gave it to them. I mean, you had Cade Smith, who was completely lights out at the back end of the bullpen, and because he was taking up like the lack that Emmanuel Clase hasn't had for the Guardians this season. And I think having a guy that you can rely on when your ace closer is no longer performing in the way that they know that he can, I think it's very strong for them. But I think also, like, I'm not worried about the Yankees in a sense, because they do have guys like Ben Rice, who we will talk about later. We need to. Like, Paul Goldschmidt is batting, like, .385, which is insane. I did not expect that when he signed with the Yankees. But I think that they have so much depth that they could use right now. But I feel like they also need to utilize the bottom half of their batting order a little bit more, because Volpe, we're going to talk about too, is not performing the way that he did. Wells got off to a hot start. He's kind of struggling a bit. And so is Jazz Chisholm. So I think in the batting order sense and like the offensive sense, I think that the Yankees just kind of have to pick it up on the back end, but keep doing what they're doing in the front.
Yeah, Ben Rice has been absolutely phenomenal for this team. .288, he's batting, 17 runs, 21 hits. He's been awesome. And then on the pitching end of things, Max Fried's also been very good. We talked about it earlier on when we were discussing the Mets. He has been the Yankees' ace, per se, when Cole has stepped out. And it's been huge to have that guy to turn to and rely on. And then there's other pieces, too. out of the pen that have been huge.
Yeah. Overall, can't believe I'm about to say this. I'm happy with where the Yankees are.
Wow, that's very big of you
to
say.
As a team, yeah. I mean, don't let Lydia Perner hear me say that. But
I'm going to send this to her after
Yeah,
this.
Actually, yeah, we're going to text her this episode, see what happens. But, I mean, I want to talk about Ben Rice because this has been kind of a breakthrough. As you said, 288, 21 hits, 6 home runs, which might be more than Juan Soto. I will neither confirm nor deny. It doesn't matter. Moving on.
Anyway.
So, kind of big, that infield to me has been very interesting. Paul Goldschmidt, as you said, Maddie, doing beautifully. I was a little, not confused by that signing. I was intrigued, but not like, oh my God, this just saved the Yankees after losing Soto. I thought like, okay, it's a good, you know, option. They had to replace Rizzo with someone, former MVP just 3 years ago. He's a little on the older side, but he's been doing beautifully. So, I mean, obviously Aaron Judge is doing his thing. But I do want to talk about Anthony Volpe because I really have been rooting for this kid. Like, It's really, since he came up, you know, we had all the Derek Jeter comparisons. And I was like, okay, guys, we have to relax on that. But, you know, I think we all kind of wanted him to do well. He struck out 4 times on Wednesday. That's kind of been the theme this season for him. And it feels like into last season as well. What are we seeing? What do we think? Is it over? I don't want to say over, but like, is it, you know, is this going to get better? Do we think?
I think in Volpe's sense, he's the homegrown kid that the Yankees were putting so much effort in. He was the non-negotiable, wasn't going in a trade. He wasn't going anywhere else. He was staying in the Bronx. And Aaron Boone has a lot of trust in Volpe. He's a very good defensive shortstop. He's done very well in his position this year. It's just he also got off on a hard start like everybody else in the Yankee lineup against the Brewers in the beginning of the year. But I would like to see him get out of this slump. He was so strong at the beginning of last season. I think he went 30 games of getting on base in a row. And then he went into a slump towards the middle of like this time of the season, May, June-ish. And I think that we all know he has the potential. We all know what he's capable of doing. He's so quick. His stolen base percentage is crazy from the years past. And I think that if he had the ability to get on base more, his stolen base percentage will go through the roof. Mm-hmm. He just has to get on base, and he's got to get out of that slump. And I think having leaders like Aaron Judge and veterans like Paul Goldschmidt and now Cody Bellinger, they're coming from different teams, so they have different experiences and expertise to give to these young players, like Chisholm, who's kind of struggling a little bit. You have Oswaldo Cabrera, who's still pretty young, and I feel like having those veterans and helping these players get out of that slump because they need that depth, I think will definitely help them.
Yeah, Volpe's been struggling. You know, you guys said it. He batted 209 in 2023 in his rookie year, and then 24, he batted 243, and then this year he's below 200. So something's obviously not right. He's going to have to work with his swing coach there in New York and see what he can do to figure that out. Shockingly, though, his on-base percentage is higher. So he must be doing a good job seeing the ball and making sure, you know, checking swings because he's still getting on base. And obviously his speed is a threat. When he runs, he's probably stealing a bag.
So overall, well, actually, that series against the Guardians, I think there's, with the American League as a whole, in my opinion, going off of also last season, there's no clear, like, obviously in the National League there's kind of the Dodgers, and that's like this really scary team, and I'll say that as a Mets fan, like, I'm terrified of facing them in the playoffs. But there's no team like that in the American League to me, which would, you would think, leaves the path wide open for the Yankees. Do we think that they're tied for the best record overall in the American League? Are they going back to the World Series? Obviously very, very early call here, but
I do think in comparison to the rest of the American League, the Yankees have a very high potential to be that team like the Dodgers are in the National League. Because the Dodgers are just a threat all around. I was scared going into the World Series, and I mean, rightfully so, because they killed us, but I know, like, they're just so, their depth is insane. They have so much. They have a lot of veterans on the team. They're an older lineup. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of older players in this team, more experienced players. And I think that the Yankees do have the potential to have it. They have those players that are shining through, like Paul Goldschmidt and Aaron Judge. So I think that once they just put everything together, and hopefully Stanton can come back soon. He was hitting BP the other day when they were on the road. They're talking about Luis Gil coming back in a couple weeks. Like, you never know. And I know that we don't have Gerrit Cole all year, but having Max Fried in the starting rotation will hopefully help and take that place where Garrett's gone. But I think that once they start to click everything together, rather than just having Judge and Goldschmidt do their thing, they need to all come together offensively and defensively, and hopefully they can be the Dodgers of the American League.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with Matt. I think that they are the Dodgers of the American League. I don't think there's another team out there that I could pick and point to and say, hey, this is the Dodgers of this league. I think they got to get some key pieces back. When they have a healthy Garrett Cole, a healthy DJ LeMahieu, a healthy Loaisiga, a healthy Stroman, now that he's, you know, got knee inflammation and everything else, I think when they're healthy, they're that team in the AL. Banged up, they got some injuries, and they're not humming on all cylinders. I think there's some other teams that could break through. The Guardians are playing decent. They're starting to play some decent ball. They're second, I think, in their division. So there's other teams that are playing well.
Now, actually, on that point, if you look at this American League East, I think going into this season, a lot of people were thinking, like, this is an interesting division. Because you have, obviously, you have the Yankees. Okay, we know what the Yankees are going to be. The Red Sox made a lot of great moves this offseason. They really bolstered that rotation. They're 14-13, little up and down. They're still second in that division because, I mean, three teams under 500 here. The Blue Jays, who I don't know if anybody knows what the Blue Jays are going to turn out to be. I don't have any faith in the Rays. But the Orioles are supposedly one of the better teams in the league. 10-14, last in the division. Is this their division to lose, do we think?
The Yankees, you mean,
yeah,
in a sense? I don't know. I mean, that's a hard one to say because I don't know. Everything is so close right now, and it's just still so soon in the season to say, like, oh, I think they're going to lose when they're going to take it. You know what I mean? Just because it's so close. But I do think the Red Sox getting Bregman was a huge move. I think that now Devers is getting out of his slump. He was, what, 0-19 behind the plate? It was insane. And he's coming out of his slump. I think the Red Sox do have a lot of potential. I think that they have a pretty good lineup. They got some pretty good pitchers. And I think the Orioles are, compared to their previous seasons, not doing as hot as they are. They also are a very young team. They have Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman. They're somewhat pulling their weight, but I think that once, and they're like the Yankees, they have to all come together in a sense where everything just needs to click. They need to get their bats going. They need to, like, to get their defense going. And I think that every team has the opportunity of doing that, which is why I am going to say it's too early to say that the Yankees could fall in this league.
Yeah, the Red Sox are back, man. That team up at Fenway Park, they have a lot of pieces that they acquired in the offseason, and one of them is Walker Buehler from the Dodgers.
That was huge.
Yeah, he's huge, and he hasn't even been pitching great. He's got a 4.23 ERA. He's given up 13 earned runs, so not his greatest start to the season. Maybe, you know, doesn't like the cold, the Northeast. I get it, you know, if you're Southern person trying to play in the cold, it's very tough. But I think this Red Sox team is good.
Yeah.
Now, I go back to the Yankees team and I say, this team is still better than the Red Sox. And therefore, it's still their division to lose. But I think this Red Sox team is going to give them a tough run.
So, looking also one other thing, in the American League West, I want to look at momentarily, the kind of in the same boat as the East. Nobody's really running away so far. Mariners and Rangers tied for the first spot, for both 14-11. I penciled in the Texas Rangers as a potential American League Championship Series matchup for the New York Yankees, personally. But I would say, I actually am going to introduce a little game later. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, fun.
But we'll talk about that. Talk a little bit about what we see happening in the coming months, because we are 1 month into the Major League Baseball season. There's a lot to play. We got the whole summer, and then we got a little bit into fall. But for now, let's talk about some teams that have started off well that might turn cold, and a team that has started off cold but you think will turn things around, and give me your reasons why.
Okay, so I'm going to start with mine. With a team that's starting off cold, but I think could come back, and I'm going to say it's the Orioles. The Orioles, they lost Corbin Burnes. That was huge for them, but I think that they do still have depth in their pitching rotation. I think that their batting order, I think that they have a pretty good set of guys that could pull through. Like I said, they still have Adley Rutschman. Gunnar Henderson is doing great in the field, and I think looking back at the Orioles team, just two seasons ago won 100 games, and I think that they have the potential to go back to what they were, and I honestly hope to see it in a sense, because I've always liked the Yankees Orioles going against each other. I always liked those, that camaraderie that they've always had against one another. So I think that that's the team that I'm going to pick that is cold right now but could turn it around as the season goes.
Yeah, I like that pick. My pick, cold, going to heat up, is the Houston Astros. I think they always heat up, especially into the postseason. They're not a and nobody wants to play the Astros. You got Altuve. You got guys like Myers and Pena, and then Alvarez has been in a slump. I mean, he's hitting .221. He hasn't even gotten his bat on the ball, really, and they're doing okay. I watched them the other night. I think they were playing the Padres, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And I think
good team.
Yeah, good team, and they got the win.
Yeah.
And I think they took the series, actually, 2-1. But this is a team that can make a run, and as this season goes on, they will get better. They'll play better defense. It's been a little bit of defensive woes for them. I think they're going to be okay.
Okay, I have two teams that I couldn't really decide. One of them is mostly out of fear, and the other one is I actually think they're going to get better. But one that has been terrible, as we kind of mentioned earlier to start, I think is not going to keep being this terrible, is unfortunately the Atlanta Braves. I fear the Braves. They were great last season. Really, really great last season. And it's just very difficult for me to imagine that they keep at the 10-14 pace. I mean, we were talking about, like, I remember watching some programming before this season started. You know, people picking the National League East. Everybody said, you know, Braves, Phillies, then Mets. Had the Mets finishing third, mind you. Slightly disrespectful, if you ask me, but whatever. And it's just hard for me to count out the Braves. The bats are going to have to be better, but I mean, I feel like they're too good. The only reason I really have for this is that they're too good of a team. And then my other pick is the Brewers. I think once we saw that opening series with the Yankees where they just, I mean, I've almost never seen anything like that, how badly the Yankees destroyed them that series. But they lost Devin Williams. We didn't even really talk about Devin Williams yet.
I know. I was thinking about that.
We actually should bring him up. In a second, we can talk about Devin Williams because I'm so confused by him right now. But I think the Brewers are better than 13-13. They were also very good last season. I certainly didn't think the Mets were going to beat them in the wild card round. My dreams came true. But overall, the National League Central as a division is kind of also interesting because I had the Reds being a little better than they've started. They're 12-13. Kind of those top three teams right now, the Cubs, Brewers, and Reds, I all thought. The Cubs are pretty good, but I think that's a confusing division as well. But I just think the Brewers can be better than this, and I think they will be. They just had a loss last night to the Giants, who I might be mentioning in the near future. But let's turn to the other side of this question. One team that started off hot that might turn cold.
I'm going to say this one team just because of this one game that happened the other day where they won 24-2 against the Dodgers. I'm going to go with the Cubs.
I like that.
I do think that they're off to a hot start, but I still also think that this is like the learning period for teams where they're just getting used to being with new players or getting used to being back in the season. And I think especially against the Dodgers, like we've said, they are a powerhouse team. Mm-hmm. And I think to win by that, I was so shocked when I saw that on ESPN and that came into my phone. I was like, oh my God, no way. But I do think that they could see their success being short-lived, but that's going to be my pick because just I don't know if they have as much depth as these other teams do, but that's me. What are you guys thinking?
I agree with that, actually. That's such a weird division. I don't know who's going to come out of it. Like, none of these teams are, like, particularly amazing. Like, it's not like the National League West where there's, like, four teams that could conceivably win that division. Probably going to be the Dodgers. But it's very weird. But I agree. The Cubs are kind of a mystery to me. But Kyle Tucker, man. Like,
I know. He's good at his job. Are they going to keep him? Or is he going to go?
I think
like,
he
where's
got it.
We talked about this in the last one because you see, like, we were talking about the Blue Jays keeping
Vladdy.
Yes, we were talking about him staying, and do the Cubs pull out their big pockets and give him the big, contracts that you see these people get. And you see Soto, like we said, $765 million, which is crazy. And people are passing the $500 million mark. Like, do you think that Kyle Tucker will stay? Do you think that he's worth that much? It's a big question. And hopefully, if their success continues, that they decide to bring out that money that we know that they have and keep that guy that could be the person for the Cubs team.
Yeah, my team for this was actually the Cleveland Guardians, shockingly.
Let's hope.
And as a Yankees fan, you know, I'm hoping, because they're dangerous, and they played us last year in the playoff, but I don't see them sustaining their start. They're second right now in their division. I don't see them holding. What do you guys think?
I kind of agree with that, because like I was saying earlier, Emmanuel Clase is like their guy, and he has like a 9 ERA right now. He's not performing. I think that they do still have a little bit of depth, but they don't have that guy that they can just trust on, like we were talking about before.
Yeah, I think they really need Clase to figure it out. I mean, Cade Smith being good has been good for my fantasy team, because he's on my fantasy team, but whatever. They do have Jose Ramirez, who, looking up his stats right now, now it's not loading. Yeah. He's batting .265, 5 homers. Not bad.
No, not bad.
But you can't really, it's tough to put everything into that one guy. For me, the San Francisco Giants have 17-9. I'm sorry, the Dodgers are 16-9. 17-9 from the Giants is insane to me.
It's a little surprising.
It's a little surprising. That division has been, I mean, the top three teams mostly, but the Diamondbacks aren't that bad either. That team has been crazy. One of their big pickups over the offseason was Justin Verlander, who has frankly not been very good, 5.47 ERA, which is kind of getting to that point with Justin Verlander where you got to wonder when he's going to hang him up. Not that anyone roots for that, but kind of just has to, you got to think about it at some point. But Giants are 7-3 at home, 10-6 away. I'm astonished that they're this good. Like, Willy Adames, who they just signed to that major extension, hasn't been great either. He's batting .202, 1 home run. Like, I just have no explanation for this at this point. But, I mean, hey, makes the National League West interesting, mm-hmm. along with the Padres, who I thought would be really good. They're at the top of the division right now. And then the Dodgers are somehow in third place. So,
not complaining.
So, I'm absolutely not complaining about the Dodgers being in third place. But we'll have to see what happens there. So, time for my surprise game, I think.
I'm kind of scared.
No, it's really not. Like, it's just a super, I just wanted to scare you guys a little, but super, super early. So early. Like, nobody come back to this to judge us in October, but what's your World Series matchup right now?
Oh, God. Can you go first for this one? I gotta think. I need a minute.
Wow.
Just, like, purely, just first thought.
I'll throw it out there. Sadly, as a Yankees fan, it breaks my heart to say this. I'm going to take the Red Sox out of the American League.
Sophia did not like that one.
No,
I
know.
She just gave a horrible look.
I apologize to all the Yankees fans listening to this. But I think this Boston team has picked up so many quality pieces in the offseason. They've dumped money into this roster. And when you pay all that money into the roster, not like the Yankees haven't. They picked up Freed and Williams and all these other guys. But I just think this Red Sox team, I don't know. Something about the Yankees just doesn't seem right to me. Without Gerrit Cole, their guy, we've talked about it all night. You have to have your guy. Like, Clase is like, when I think of the Guardians, like, Clase is the guy that pops into my mind. When I think of the Yankees, like, obviously it's Aaron Judge. Mm-hmm. If I was to think of a second guy, it's probably Cole. So, yeah. Like, Cole is down. That hurts. Obviously, Judge and the bats can do offensively what they can do. But I got the Red Sox coming out of the American League and out of the National League. I'm going to go with the Padres. I think they can keep up what they've started. I think they're very good. I know you're a Mets fan. You don't like to hear the Padres and the Dodgers.
It's fine.
I think the Padres and the Red Sox, that's what it's going to come down to.
I actually, one note on what you said about the Yankees having their guy and Class A. You would think that Devin Williams, like, maybe should be one of those guys for the Yankees, and he just hasn't been, which, again, dumbfounds me. I'm just so confused this year. 7.88 ERA. He's got 4 saves. Like, okay. He's pitched 8 innings, and that's his ERA. Like, that's – you. I – actually, here's – this is a little off topic. I'm sorry. We're a little all over the place today. But should Luke Weaver – be their closer.
See, I was just gonna, okay, I was just about to talk about Luke Weaver. So, We, again, talked about this last time where it is still early and I almost want to give him a little bit more grace. Like, I want to give Devin Williams, like, a little more time. I love Luke Weaver. I'm the biggest Luke Weaver fan. I'll say that's the day I die. But I'm going to give him just a little bit more, a couple more outings. And if he's really not finding his place, Luke's got to take over. And he's lucky he has Luke Weaver because yeah. he can't perform this way and not have a guy behind him. I can see you shaking your head. I know. I can tell you don't agree.
If it ain't broke, like, don't fix it. Like, you know what I mean? Luke Weaver was tremendous last postseason. He came in, he stepped up to the task, and he delivered. Like, he was very reliable. He was good. I was like, okay, Weaver's in the game. We're all set. This one's pretty much over, you know, unless something crazy happens, couple bad calls from the umpire. But, like, Devin Williams comes in the game, and I am like, okay, like, gotta lock in.
Like, yeah, it's like this new game, Clay Holmes.
Yeah, Clay Holmes was horrible. He's figured things terrible. Out now a little bit with the Mets. Don't know how they got that to work, but, like, I don't know how that worked, but I think they should just go back to Weaver. Like, I think it's time, you know, you've given him a sufficient amount of outings. He's played 9 games, like, time to figure it out real quick. Maybe you give him one more, get him to an even 10. If you can't get it going, like, you're done.
I could see what you're saying, too. Almost in a sense of, like, you got to kind of earn your role.
Yeah.
Because Luke has earned his role. He has presented to the team that he is the guy. He was able to pull through when they needed him in the World Series. He's been so good this season so far. He had a little bit of a rough time the other day when he was playing against the Guardians, but we can overlook that. But I get what you're saying in a sense where you need to earn your role when you already have guys that have earned the position. But with his reputation of being one of the best closers in Major League Baseball, I think that you kind of got to give him a little bit of grace. A little bit of grace, but that's just my opinion.
I don't know, guys. Like, I'm so in between on this just because I'm so used to Edwin Diaz being so up and down that I'm like, I totally get what you guys are going through here. I mean, Edwin Diaz, I don't think has had this bad of a stretch for the Mets. Like, he's had some bad stretches since he came over in 2019, but it's never gotten this bad. And, like, now when Devin Williams goes out there, like, you're genuinely thinking, like, even if they have a lead, like, that lead is not permanent.
Yeah.
You are never guaranteed a win when Devin Williams is in the game, which is unreal because, again, one of the best closers in the game last year. And in the first series against Milwaukee, I was trying to defend him. I was like, okay, it's against his old team. It's the first series. Like, you got to give him some time. It's hard going against your old team. All those guys know you, and they know your stuff. But now it's been a month, and that's a really, really bad ERA.
Yeah.
So I think they got to go to Weaver, especially, I mean, this team has World Series aspirations. Mm-hmm. Like, eventually you have to pull the plug and just, you know, put him in not the closer role for a bit. Like, put him in like, the seventh inning and see if he can figure it out. But that was a little sidetrack. Back to our World Series matchups.
I, like, almost forgot what we were talking about earlier. Okay. I'm going to say, This might sound crazy. I don't know. I could see it being a matchup of last year.
I agree. I could see
it being the Yankees and the Dodgers again. I would love to see it because if I could see my Yankees pull through and get that win against the Dodgers, that would feel so good. But I also get so much anxiety when I see Freddie Freeman come up or if I see Mookie Betts or, of course, Shohei Ohtani. Like, those three just actually make my blood boil. It makes me nervous.
Yeah.
But I could see it. I think that they both have the depth if all of their guys are on it. Like, Volpe's got to get his things together. Like, he's got to get going. Like, I think hopefully we have Luis Gil back. We have Giancarlo Stanton, who carried the Yankees lineup in that postseason run. He was the reason they made it all the way there. And I think that if he's healthy, Luis Gil's healthy, DJ LeMahieu can come back. There's so many guys in the IL right now that could be a huge factor for the Yankees. And I think that if they were to utilize all those guys and the men that they have now could be at their fullest potential, like we know that they can, I could see them back there with the Dodgers.
I don't know, guys. I'm struggling with my own game because part of me does want to pick Subway Series because I do think if
it's going to, that would be so much fun.
That would be so fun. I mean, talk about anxiety.
That
I would just
would
not
be
sleep
horrible.
For 2 weeks because, like, I genuinely, I don't think that would be good for my health. But I don't want to say that, A, because I don't want to jinx it. B, like, we can't count the Dodgers out. You said, like, that team is so good. You have 3 MVPs, bang, bang, bang. The pitching is great. They're great on all ends. There's so much depth there. So I don't want to say not the Dodgers. I mean, Red Sox-Dodgers, maybe a rematch from a couple of years
ago. That'd be a good one.
That could be fun. Maybe not for, like, the city of New York.
I like that Red Sox pick. But I had that in mind.
I like the Red Sox a lot. I've been kind of a Red Sox truther, not because I don't like the Yankees, just because, I mean, I love Fenway Park. That's kind of my main reason. Like, I'm sorry. It's true. But I would say the American League is so open, it could really genuinely be anyone. I mean, we could see the Orioles. If the Orioles get hot, they could somehow end up there. The Tigers. We haven't even really talked about the Tigers.
I know.
But I guess I'm going to say at the moment, Red Sox, Dodgers. The Red Sox do, I mean, they're 14-13. It's not like anything. I'm sorry, Sophia. Anything. It's not anything like crazy from the Red Sox so far. But I like where they're at. That division is totally up for grabs, in my opinion. And, I mean, the Dodgers, like, how am I going to not say the Dodgers? Like, I just don't feel like they're going to be third in the division all year.
We've also seen how dominant they are in postseason energy. Like, some teams crack under pressure. Some teams can't carry it. But they held it with so much confidence. They went into that all of those games and just destroyed any kind of team they went up against.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that the Mets even won a couple of games off the Dodgers was, like, enough to make me not totally devastated when they lost. But anyway, I think that's going to do it for us today. I'm Grace McCarron. Thank you so much for listening to Nosebleeds, WFUV Sports' only Major League Baseball podcast. So, so, so much baseball left. We have the entire summer and then some. So we're going to have to keep a close eye on Mets and Yankees and, of course, the rest of the league as well. But stay tuned for next week's episode of Nosebleeds. I'm Grace McCarron, and Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports.